from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM, ESPN, 680 AM. But if you're going to be away from the radio, just download the Odyssey app. You can keep up with all the programming here on 92.9 FM, ESPN, for free. Free to download, free to listen. Listen anytime, anywhere, right there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller is producing the program for us. Glad that he is indeed with us. My company this week, former play-by-play host for College Hoops and Baseball at ESPN. Also, a host for the Locked On Podcast Network. He's on Twitter, on X, at Lennox on Baseball. Steve Lennox, good day, sir.
It's Thursday. One day closer to the NFL and college football regular seasons in September, right? How are you?
I think this is our last weekend without football that counts. I believe we got week zero next week. So we'll have the Ireland games. I think week zero is an absolute, like, either make it week one or not. Like, I just wish they'd either commit to it or not. But we will have football games that count next week.
I used to insult minor league baseball fans because this time, you know, 2 weeks from now during minor league baseball seasons, they'd be like, aren't you sad the season's going to end? And I was always like, no, I'm not. I've been in hotels. I've eaten bad food for the last 6 months. When the season ends, it ends. When it starts, it starts. So I've never been that ramped up for opening dates. And working at ESPN in recent years, it's like college football, NFL, just a different world. And it's a world that I don't necessarily live in, but I understand it and I have to be up on it. But I'm actually looking forward to the start more of the college football season this year. And I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'll have some Saturdays, but I'm ready to go for it.
You are spot on. Well, I've never called minor league baseball. I called college baseball. And 56 games in basically, let's see, what's February, March, April, towards the end of May.
So the regular season and the regionals are real quick. Then you get to Omaha, and they're really extending that out. So it does become a long season for eight, then four, then two. But for the rest, It's a lot of games in a short amount of time.
And it's a lot of bus trips. We were not exactly traveling in style at Pepperdine University. I'm with you because it's one of those ones
you
where
did
it's
like, Pepperdine baseball.
I did indeed.
Did you have guys from there get to the big leagues?
So we had Chase Darno's brother, and I can't remember if he made it up or not. He got close. We had.
So that's Travis and Chase, right? Travis
Correct.
with the
Sorry,
Braves?
Travis's brother, Chase. I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
Did Chase make it up?
He did.
We had Eric Thames, however you say it.
Yep.
First baseman,
yep.
Played for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Those were the big ones. I was not in kind of Pepperdine spent a large portion of the 90s being very good in baseball. And
yes.
We had a guy named Steve Rodriguez that was a good coach who played.
Yes.
Who played there. When he took the Baylor job, Pepperdine Athletics is caught in between release patterns, as Tiger Woods would say. They don't know if they want to hit a draw. They don't know if they want to hit a fade. They can't quite figure out what they want to do in the NIL era. Can they spend? They have money, but do they want to spend it? And so it was a nice view from the press box. You got the Pacific Ocean like out in left field, so that's pretty sick.
Right.
But, I mean, I came from the world of my brothers played college baseball. I'm the oldest, but I come from SEC baseball and going out there where there's good baseball, but nobody cares. Like that was just a very different world for me.
So my Pepperdine story in 20 seconds, can I go?
Absolutely. We're literally just waiting on the schedule.
A youth group trip out to Los Angeles. We land the day that Magic Johnson announces that he's HIV positive and he's done with the NBA. And we're seniors in high school. And we're from the Northeast. We hit the Pepperdine campus. And you want to talk about a group of 20 to 25 kids sticking out like sore thumbs and didn't really belong where they were. And none of us were on campus to take a tour of like Pepperdine was an option coming from the Northeast. But it was like, wow, you know, how long are we here for? Can we go now? That's my Pepperdine story.
Yeah. So if you think that some kids from the Northeast stood out, let me tell you what, buddy, the guy that wears pastels from the South, he really stands out. One of my big culture shock moments is one of my sweet mates played volleyball, and he was from San Diego. And he had a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and he did not have windshield wipers on his car. And he could not understand how that blew my mind. Because in his mind, he's like, why would I have windshield wipers? It never rains. Now, it also, as I told him, like it rains in January, rains in February. He's from San Diego. It's like never rains. He was so like nonchalant and casual about not having windshield wipers. It was two people that could not understand why the other person was surprised. That was a nice we come from different parts. Like that is kind of the reminder of whenever it talks about America being fractured and divided. It's like I don't think we really conceptualize how big the United States of America is. Like, you can put pretty much all of Western Europe inside of our country with some room to spare.
And I told you yesterday, you can take Staten Island, New York, and you really could put it in other parts of the country, and it would fit right in.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing. And everyone always thinks of as California as like, oh, well, it's like the visuals of San Francisco that you see. It's like, you do realize, like, there's more Republicans in California than probably any other state. It's just, you know, if it goes 60-40, it's still going to be, you know, it's going to lean one side politically. But that was always the weird culture shock of people that grew up in Southern California, like how different their worldview is. And like by the flip side, when I got to college, every single person was like, oh, so you're from like tornado country, right? I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. And they honestly talked about it like
that's
it was.
That's the thing that they associated you with.
Yes, like they thought like I was from like, you know, that I'd seen the Loch Ness Monster, that like I stared the face of death, and I'm like I hesitated. So I was like, guys, like maybe it's an unhealthy move, but it's like we don't really think about it. Well, you know what I mean? Like it's part of it. And also in Memphis, we don't get hit like you would see like Oklahoma. There's whether or not it's real science or not, it seems like the river kind of keeps it from getting really bad. I say as someone who grew up on a house that was built on top of a house that was destroyed by a tornado, but I viewed it this way. Like, what are the odds it was going to hit again? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to go two for two. Like, we're fine. But they literally thought like I'd stared the face of death because they were so shocked and like scared of tornadoes. And I was like, did y'all watch Twister at a weird age? It's like of all the cultural questions asked, like that's the one you got? Like tornadoes? Like that one took me back.
So like Chicago and Hard Knocks, they didn't think blues music right off the top.
They did not think blues music. Now, most of them had at least a basic familiarity that were the home of Elvis. And, of course, tonight is the candlelight visual for Elvis Presley as we conclude Elvis Week. So that was basically about what they knew of Memphis.
My parents had that on their bucket list to be there for this week at some point. But they also don't want to go in August. So
if Elvis Week would have been last week, it would have been like the greatest PR tourism moment. Last week felt like fall. Like it was shockingly nice. And today, which we also have the kickoff of the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first playoff event for the PGA Tour.
And it's a scorcher.
And it's going to be it's miserable. It's like, we could have just gotten it 1 week before, everyone would have been like, man, Memphis, not that bad. Like, everybody says it's hot. Like, it's like, no. And now everyone, you just watching this golf tournament, everyone's just sweating through their shirts.
Yeah, I had 5 nights with the windows open in the household and the air off, and it was beautiful and such a tease, because now it's like during the day, my house just bakes, and that's where we're at right now. And it's just like, well, you know, again, the fall weather and college football, you know, I'm salivating like if I were seeing a picture of a steak, you know, and somebody online saying, somebody says this is Ron, it's a perfect medium rare.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing worse than having people tell you, it's this, and when it's really something else. Let's talk about what's coming up on the program. We do officially have the Memphis Grizzlies schedule. We were waiting for it. We've got it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the NBA schedule as well, because not only were the Grizzlies schedules released, the NBA schedule was also released. We'll take a look at some of the big thoughts. Also, Eric Hasson going to join us here about 2:35. We'll go over the schedule with Eric, get his thoughts, and how he is choosing to look at the schedule. 3:05, we'll get into the list. We've had some more NFL news, including a big injury to the Buffalo Bills. We've had another big trade that happened basically minutes after we got off the air. We'll discuss that. Some ESPN shakeups as well. Jason Smith going to join us at 3:35. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies schedule and more. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But Steve, I am looking at the Memphis Grizzlies official schedule, and I'm curious, in the Northeast, do y'all have refrigerator schedules?
Oh, you're bringing me back to the pocket schedule.
Yeah. Pocket schedule for me was always more baseball, but like in the South, and basically everyone had their college football, they had their refrigerator schedule, but the Grizzlies have gotten into that. And there's nothing like one of life's simple pleasures is when I get my refrigerator schedule, because it also helps me when my wife's asking, you know, what's the schedule this week? And I can like, well, let's go look on the refrigerator. I just didn't know if that was a Southern thing.
The visual you just gave me is Coach Gaines, and I know I'm going back on this movie, but it's one of my favorites, and it's one of my favorite books, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the movie, where Coach Gaines is taking the nameplates off and throwing them on the ground. I visualize you doing that with your refrigerator schedule, out with the old, in with the new.
And I even have, we have like a little, like our timer that sits on our refrigerator also has like a little dry erase marker. And so I'll do W's and L's on it as well. So yeah, it's like
nice.
It's always it's a depressing moment though when you get to the end of the year and it's time to discard, as you mentioned.
Yes, but you know, hope springs eternal, and you know that's when you put that new one on there, you're already eyeing that win total, and you want to go with the over.
Oh, always looking for a way. All right, so the Memphis Grizzlies will open the season, kind of as is tradition, on the road. They will open up on Wednesday night. They play at Utah. They will then travel to Houston on Friday. The home opener, for those that are curious, what is the home opener? Steve, this is something that may not apply to the rest of the country, but it does kind of apply down here in the South. The Memphis Grizzlies will have their home opener on Saturday night, October the 26th. They will take on Orlando. Now, to the best of my ability, let's see. The Memphis Tigers will play Charlotte on that Saturday. I do not believe Tennessee has a game. Ole Miss plays Oklahoma that weekend. Those are kind of the big ones that impact crowds and whatnot. The Grizzlies during college football season don't love Saturday home games for obvious reasons if it's a ticket business. But the Grizzlies will indeed open up on a Saturday night in October.
So is the league saying, you know what, you're getting John Morant back, we're gonna take the gamble that it's a full house?
I think what the league's saying is, hey, y'all, there's 30 teams, and we got to get 82 games in, and we got to figure this out. The Grizzlies, I'm looking through, so they have that October 26th game. They do have a Saturday night game the following week, but it's at Philly. No Saturday game the next 2 weeks. Another Saturday game, but again, at Chicago. And then they have the Black Friday New Orleans game, but no Saturday game during whatever's traditionally rivalry week. And then on the 14th, that will be the NBA Cup semifinal. So really, I think what the league said is, hey, we can't give you zero, but it seems to me that they tried to give them, it seems to me that the league did their best they could and tried to only give them one during what would be peak football season.
So where were the Grizzlies when it came to that last team cut? You know, like we say, the last four in, the last four out. Where were the Grizzlies when it was in consideration of do we or don't we put them on Christmas Day?
So they had 2 years ago, they did have the Christmas Day game. Last year, they did not. Ja, I think, technically would have been back, but I think there was kind of like a double secret, like, we're going to make you think about this. I think the problem that the Grizzlies fell into is, in the NBA, I really feel like more so than any other sport that we see, it is the ultimate what's the last thing we've seen league. You know, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
And the Grizzlies were just so bad. Not only were the Grizzlies bad last year, because of the amount of injuries that they had and the number of players that they went through, they set a league record for number of roster spots. They were boring and bad. And so they were just completely out of sight, out of mind. And I think the other problem is, Christmas Day games, it felt like some of the matchups were kind of already kind of predetermined. And that was the other thing I wanted to discuss as we move into kind of the big picture thing before we get away from the Grizzlies. It feels like to me, because this rookie class is largely kind of, you know, the one and two picks are French guys that nobody's really seen. Reed Sheppard could be an exciting young player. Obviously, the Grizzlies are excited about Zach Edey. But because the rookie class doesn't have, like, massive star quality, I wonder if the league is just going to milk LeBron, Steph, KD, like the late stages of all of them. And, yeah, just ride that. You know, they're going to be Mike Gundy with Ollie Gordon, just handing them the ball as much as they can. That would be my suspicion.
I don't have anything left in me. One more. One more.
Come on. It'll help us. It's only third down. It's third and short. You don't have to get that far. And once you get the first down, get down. So the other, let's see, I cite Grizzlies pre- and post-game host as well as sideline reporter Rob Fisher for his fantastic breakdown. The Grizzlies will have 15 back-to-backs. Six will be home and home back-to-backs. Four will be road back-to-backs, two come in the month of October. The teams that they will play twice, I believe, let's see, the longest road trip will be five games, which I think last year it was four, and also that five-game trip is split up by the All-Star break. The longest homestand is indeed five games. In terms of national TV, and Steve, I don't know how you feel. I have a general rule. I don't count NBA TV. To me, it's got to be ESPN, TNT, ABC. It's got to be one of the big-time media. I just don't count NBA TV.
I'm not going to say it's in the same category as True TV come tournament time, but it's down there. I never really see that as an option, and rarely. And, you know, I mean, it's got to be, you know, maybe a Saturday night matchup that, you know, okay, it's over there. I got to go over there and find it. But if that's, I don't know why. It becomes almost a chore to find it. And yeah, I mean, nowadays I can just talk into my TV. But I'm 100% there with you.
There's something also like, yes, I know that there's a shortcut. But there's something about, you know, actually seeing it through to the end. Finding it on your own. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, you actually feel like a hero. Like, you actually accomplished something by just finding a channel. I'm with you. I think the other thing that's interesting to me is, I'm very curious what the future of the not only NBA TV, but we've seen like NFL Network has clearly downsized their operation. It seems like the leagues thought when they launched these networks that it was going to be a massive revenue stream. And then they figured out kind of during the last TV deals, like those operations are highly expensive. Just sell some games to, you know, sell some playoff games and you'll make more money that way. And you're not subsidizing. I would be surprised if NBA TV lasts beyond this next deal, especially if Turner ends up, because NBA TV is largely a Turner operation. I'd be surprised if both like last. Now, I have actually enjoyed, especially what NFL Network has become. NFL Network's actually what I've always wanted it to be. Whereas now, if you flip on NFL Network during the season, you know, during the afternoon, it's just old games. And I'm like, yes, give me the. You have the greatest library in terms of game inventory. Just show us that. And NBA TV's kind of been doing the same thing. But I suspect that those channels are not long for this earth.
And right along with the, you know, the regional sports networks too. But what comes to mind for me is I think baseball was the last to the table to launch the MLB Network.
Yep.
And you didn't even mention that you know, they could turn the lights out on that. And they could. I mean, where baseball's come from, again, another former employee of MLB Advanced Media, you know, they were they were running parallel for a while. Then all of a sudden they said, no, we're going to do everything over here in New Jersey. And everything's all encompassing on MLB Network. And you made the point of, you know, hey, I can put on the NFL Network and their old games on there. MLB Network to me doesn't do enough of that in their offseason, where it's like, you know, oh, okay, here's a complete run of October and postseason baseball. Well, we just watched that. Give me something. You know, they've done Larson's perfect game in the World Series and different things like that, and I like it. But MLB, I mean, just in terms of, you know, they still have Vaz Gurgin. They still have their shows that are, you know, you go there, you know, the news comes down, you're going there. And I think that's a big part of it, too. Like you said, of, you know, not skeleton crew, but pretty close to it.
Yeah.
That never became the go-to place. Okay, there's news. Where are you going? Well, now we're just going to Twitter.
Yep.
X. You know, and then we go from there. We're not hitting the TV, and even ESPN has felt that. That's not your go-to destination anymore. And I don't know that the networks were ever there.
No, and I it's also, like we were talking about yesterday with FedEx Forum, where FedEx Forum was built at a time that was probably not great to build an arena because it became the model became outdated so quickly. I think if you think back to when those channels launched, we were still very much in a linear cable satellite era, and everyone was just trying to get into as many households as possible, get revenue up that way. Well, lo and behold, you know, people start cutting the cord, and the model of you know, getting revenue that way was quickly outdated. I always just thought, and you know, maybe this is me being pie in the sky, not knowing what I'm talking about, but I always thought those channels did a disservice, because I think back to what ESPN meant to me in my youth. It was very formative for me on understanding the history of sports. And, you know, you would learn about these great games and these great players, and it taught you kind of the history. It's like guys that I'd never seen play, like I kind of had an understanding of their career. Whereas it felt like so quickly everybody was trying to use their channel as either a place to have games, which, okay, I get that, but they were trying to make it like an exclusive place. Like, you're going to sign up for this so that you can watch, you know, one game every 6 weeks. Or they were using it to like kind of drive conversation with opinion makers. And it's like, to me, like that entire model just got outdated quickly. It's like, if you just, I think they, you know, when you think about how easy it is to, when you have that library, to like put things together to tell us about, you know, the significance of certain people and in important moments. Like, I thought they could have really done a better job of teaching, like, the history of their game, which allegedly you're supposed to be proud of, correct? I mean, if you're the NFL, you're supposed to be proud of the NFL. If you're Major League Baseball, you're supposed to be proud of Major League Baseball. Not that every league doesn't have its flaws and moments of, you know, being on the wrong side of history, however you want to phrase it, but it's like, they could have, it seems to me that those programs are very cheap to make, and you could have easily used it as like a service of, oh, I never knew about this guy, now I do.
So, present day history is last week, and that's far as people are willing to go back.
Maybe 10 minutes ago.
And yeah, and so last night, this just popped into my head of last night, somebody who I follow on X, and he writes for FanGraphs, and I really like following him, and you know, he's almost my version of Bill Simmons for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not that he's Bill Simmons, it's a very light comparison, but he's just a guy that I enjoy. So he tweeted out last night of, you know, hey, I'm listening to a major league broadcast here. They're talking about Brooks Robinson and all these great plays that he made in the 1960 World Series against the Mets. He goes, I think the guy has it wrong. And he did. Those great plays were against the Reds on the turf in Cincinnati, either a couple of years later. And, you know, again, the history reference was just wrong. And you know who I absolutely just lambaste because he always gets history wrong? Like, and then, you know, when and it's almost dangerous when some people want to reflect back. Chris Russo from SiriusXM.
Well, Mad Dog did kill Billy Beane, GM of the A's last week.
Of course he did. Right.
Well, yeah. Mad Dog kind of, to your point though, it's not quite to the level, like, Barkley has, in my opinion, the single greatest gig in all of our business, because not only do we not expect him to not get things right, we almost kind of enjoy it. Mad Dog kind of falls into that same category where it's like kind of sort of part of his charm. It's not to the level of Barkley, but I'm always insanely jealous of those people because if I say one name wrong, my Twitter just lights up. And
right.
It's like,
right.
It's like, guys, if you talk as much as I do, you eventually have a slip up. Like, but right. I wish I could have that ability to not have to be accurate.
No, I think it's insulting to the audience. You know,
oh,
and
for
Barkley,
sure.
You know, he, right? I mean, it's just absolutely insulting to the audience. And you know, he comes out yesterday and says, you know, hey, I left a lot of money on the table. And one of the quotes that I read in a newspaper, well, online newspaper, was basically saying, you know, hey, if I had gone and take that money elsewhere, they were actually going to expect me to work. And, you know, and do more than I do here. And, you know, that was part of it, too.
Oh, there's a huge, I mean, now, so I also think Charles is negotiating. I've followed that story very closely, and I think I've noticed a pattern. Charles has been publicly negotiating, and he's been hypercritical of Turner and Warner Brothers Discovery. If you notice, though, there was this stark change in tone the last 2 weeks. And to me, I think what has happened is either Charles' agent or some executive got a hold of him and said, hey, man, we need you to act like you're going to come back and that you're in this for real, because we're losing the NBA, but we need them to cut us as big of a check as possible, and that's going to take care of everyone. I will be stunned if Charles Barkley is on the TNT NHL pregame. I just don't foresee that world actually existing. This feels very much like a posturing where Warner Brothers needs everyone to think that they're still going on business as usual, but in reality, like that's gonna allow them more leverage and some type of buyout.
I stopped listening to Charles Barkley a long time ago. I understand it. You're paying him. He's going to be, you know, when they put the whole crew, and Ernie Johnson is a pro, but when they put Charles Barkley on the NCAA tournament, it was just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this space. And you know, if that point in time I came to reality that I'm the old guy, that was fine. Because there were so many other people worthy of opportunities to talk college basketball intelligently, and he just wasn't going to do it. It was sort of insulting of like, you know, there are times when you knew that you knew more, you know, and you get that too. I've done SEC baseball. I was never going to know And I was told early on, look, you're not going to know every single baseball. You're not going to know every storyline. You're not going to do this. You're going to be on you're going to be on the SEC network. You're going to blanket it. But I would just get absolutely killed by, you're not doing your homework. I'm like, yeah, I am. I just don't know enough about your team. College basketball, I knew you knew more about the teams than Charles Barkley was ever going to need, even though he had so much more information available to him.
I think,
and to me, it was just coasting.
The question, though, is that our fault or is that his fault? Or is that an exact, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, someone has made a decision that he's worth it. So is it,
it's the decision maker's fault who tells him afterwards, hey, you did a great job.
That's probably fair.
Because at that point, you're just telling him, we accept your mediocrity. We accept that you're just cruising. Now, from the basketball perspective, he can get it. But when he's talking about that, number 16 seed, and, he's got one note on him, and he's probably mispronouncing the coach's name, and he's doing this wrong, and, he doesn't know the mascot and all these different things. I mean, they make fun of it. They spend segments on it making fun of what he doesn't know about your number 15 seed. Your school has gotten there. I had the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers in my first ever baseball regional for ESPN, and my partner kept... I was getting the blame, but my partner kept saying the name wrong.
Oh, God.
So it was the broadcast fault.
They played Pepperdine. Oh, my spring break, my junior year. And I remember having to sheepishly go down to, because they didn't even send their SID. And I'm just trying to find, I was trying to find an assistant coach that wasn't doing anything to actually tell me. And I just remember oh, God. And you're writing down phonetically how to say it, because Chanticleers is not exactly one that, it doesn't exactly read like it sounds.
And the Chants of the nickname for the nickname, I don't have a New York accent, but I do sort of. And that one was coming out weird for me. So I was staying away from it. So I was trying to say it crystal clear every single time. But again, you want that information, but you're up against, down south. I've never lived that life. I've never lived the life where you grew up, and you grew up on it. And I respect it. But I always prepped, and I always prided myself on the prep. And I knew the coaches, I had their respect for games that I did. Because, hey, I was up on things. And, I would drop a name for somebody and say, hey, so-and-so told me this about you. And that would give me a little credibility. So I would get through the broadcast. But, in that world of, as you said earlier, you get that one syllable. You said ah instead of you get killed.
Louisville.
And,
Louisville. Yes. Louisville. Oh, God. And the reality is,
you know how many times I've watched that video and I'm still confused by it?
Oh, God.
There are videos out there of, how do you pronounce it? And I'm like, I stay clear of that one as possible.
There was another great one. Where Ole Miss is located is Lafayette County, and it reads like Lafayette. And I was like, oh, somebody with a Lafayette County tag. And all my California friends are like, you think that's how that word's phrased? I was like, no, trust me, I'm right, you're wrong. I know that looks like Lafayette, but it's not.
Right.
It's Lafayette. It's all the Southernisms. All right, Steve, we're going to take a quick break. We'll bring you back during hour number two to talk some football and more. We'll come back and talk with Eric Hasseltine. We got the Grizzlies schedule. We'll get Eric's thoughts on it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When is the last time you didn't rent out your house during FedEx St. Jude Championship Week?
The COVID year.
Wow.
The year that they did the COVID tournament, like, yeah, in September. But that was it. I think the first couple years I had two different residences, yeah, in the neighborhood, which I think Drew talked about in the article, which was flattering what he said. But it was the COVID year was the only year it was weird, but yeah, man, it's been wild it's just like that ended when I sold the house. I was like, oh, golf tournament's this week.
Yeah, how about that here?
Yeah, how about that? We have a golf tournament in Memphis. So, yeah, the bank account also misses the check. But, yeah,
direct deposit.
So the 1 year was really weird because I had the house that I had sold, but we leased it back from the new owners because they weren't moving in until September, and we had already rented to Mark and Audrey Leishman, who's now Mark's with the Live Tour. And then they came next year to the new house, but we were at the newer place, which was on the 13th green, which was fun. But as I said, I walked in once. We didn't have any furniture in there at the time because it was still on the old house for the renters and Mark and his family. And I walked in after just kind of walking the course, talking to some friends, and I walked in, there was like 30 people in my house, and I knew like four of them. And I just went, oh, hey, everybody. And they're like, oh, hey, thanks for having us. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't invite you, but if you get invited by a friend of a friend, I guess it's cool. And
don't break anything, please.
Well, there was nothing to break.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Solo cups and just stuff in the refrigerator. Like, please don't throw things at the window and don't stair dive or anything like that. But it was cool. That year was actually fun. It made me wonder if maybe I shouldn't rent it out, because being able to stand at the fence and see people that you haven't seen or talked to because so many people go to that tournament was cool. And I'm going to miss that. It's going to be interesting when I go out this weekend and walk the course, when I walk by the old place and see what the new owners have done, because they did some work to the back patio, which I just didn't really want to have to do. That's why I sold it. But and also because there's a way more kid-friendly area where I live now, where, yeah, there's a bunch of kids Austin's age. And nothing against the neighborhood in Southland. There's just not a lot of children in there. So, that was a good run. It was a good run while we had it.
Right now, Chris Kirk leads the way. He aced 11. I don't know if you saw that. He's at 6 under. Scheffler is 2 back. That's kind of the big name. That's 2 back. Jordan Spieth just walked in a birdie putt. I don't know if he thought he missed it, because he walked immediately and then it went in. So overall,
I think Go ahead. I was going to say my favorite story. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
my
you're good.
Favorite story about the house that I just recently sold when I first lived there, that was the year we were staying and didn't have furniture, was I woke up Thursday morning, and I think it was the first year of the FedEx Cup. And I grabbed, you know, I sat up on the balcony, and I could see that, I mean, it's just a perfect view of the 13th green. And I wanted to get out there when the group teeing off on the second nine came through. And, you know, on the back nine, when they started, they staggered the start. And whoever it was, so it may not have been the FedEx Cup playoffs, may have been the actual last year of the tournament. Whoever was playing, but I thought it was because it was a young guy that got exempt and got in there, like literally from 180, one hops it. I thought he jarred it. I'm like, are you kidding me? The first shot I ever see at this house, which at the time I planned being there forever, is just a dunk, like a one-hop eagle, which was really cool to see. And that was kind of cool to, you know, sit up there, have breakfast, and watch guys go through. Because, as you know, Thursday's not as busy for fans. So there was just a clear line of sight. There was nobody watching this young dude. And he was pretty good. I forgot who he was, but he just hit the ball a ton. And what's humbling is having played that course where you see where those pros' drives are from the pro tip.
Well, I was saying, also, when you think about the tees they're pulling, not only how far they hit it, but it's like from how far back they're hitting it, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where they are in the course and where they hit it from, I'm like, I hate that guy now. Yeah. I really don't like him very much at all. But, yeah, 11, I could see some aces. I think 14 so hard to ace out on the back nine. And I could see more on 8 possibly there for the home one. And then even I think 4 when you get to that one, which it's a tough – if you catch it right, the way the green feeds to the hole, if it's like a back left pin location is – I could see somebody doing it there, but not surprising that somebody did it on 11. Do you agree, by the way, before we get into the grid schedule, with Scottie Scheffler saying this is silly, you know, we play all season, and, you know, you could dominate, but then you get here, and in 3 tournaments, you lose the season title. I'm like, well, that's called playoffs, dude. That happens in every other professional sport. So I don't have a problem with it. I think Rory's comments were pretty good, where he said, I like this format because if not, no one would catch Scottie Scheffler ever. It wouldn't happen.
Well, he's also won it 3 times from not back. I had
and
a
didn't Rose win it from back coming from behind when Tiger almost won it, but Rose was not in the lead that year. I thought Rory was actually in the lead.
He was, and then Rory was in the last group with Tiger, and that was kind of the you know, the air out of the, everyone was so happy just to have Tiger back and winning, but because Rose, but remember Rose like tapped in from like 2 feet, and that meant that no matter what Tiger did, Rose was gonna win the cup. Like Tiger was gonna win the tournament, but not the FedEx Cup, and that's why they've changed to this format. I guess what I would say with Scheffler's is I had a little different interpretation of what he was saying. I thought he was taking offense to the moniker, the season long race. And I thought he was saying, well, it's not a season long race. Like if it's a season long race and I get to Atlanta and my neck is pinched, and unlike at the Players where I was able to work through it and play, if I have to withdraw, well, I don't win. It's not a season long. I took it as that. And also I'm now at the point with Scheffler where Scheffler's getting a little more comfortable and speaking his mind a little bit more freely. Like I prefer this than to just kind of the button up, say nothing. Like I think he's actually becoming a little bit more interesting. So yes, I do agree to a certain degree. I think the problem is the PGA Tour playoffs is not really like a real playoff. It's kind of like half in, half out. But I understood his comments to say he was more bothered by the season-long race than it was the quote-unquote playoff.
Yeah, I can see that. He also got arrested at a time.
Correct. Which is actually, he might be the only person in like the last decade that's gotten arrested, and it's like, it's made everyone like him more.
Yeah, I mean, people do like the guy, and for obvious reasons, and he's such a testament to hard work and you know, basically continuing to grind, continuing to, you know, do the physical aspects of lifting and all that stuff. So, I can see where you're coming from. I guess I just heard the comments and I'm like, dude, there's nothing silly about it.
Right, it's a playoff.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you think happened to the Green Bay Packers when they were 15-1 and lost? I mean, as a Packers fan, I didn't just expect them to waltz into the Super Bowl or the NFC title game or whatever.
One of the greatest days of my life is watching the 18-0 Patriots lose to the New York Giants.
Let me tell you, look, listen, Giants guy.
Mm-hmm.
One of my old mentors in the league was a huge Giants fan, and they won that Super Bowl that year, right?
So oh, yeah.
He comes into town. I pick him up for dinner, and we're chatting it up and having fun. And he shows up when he, you know, on the phone, and he says, "Yeah, I got something for you." And I just thought it was like he would have like a flyer or a banner. This dude doesn't show up in a Super Bowl champion hat. He shows up in an NFC.
Yeah, I got that hat too.
Yeah, because
beat the Packers.
He didn't think they'd win the Super Bowl, and they beat the Packers, and he did smash it. I'm making you walk to the restaurant. I hope you enjoy the next 2.5 miles walking to where we're going to have dinner.
And I hope it starts raining.
Yeah, I'm like, this is why I love you, yet I hate you, because you are, you know what. I do remember that. Now, let's talk about schedule.
All right, so I guess this is... Let's start with the big stuff. Grizzlies open up on the road. It's going to be at Utah on Wednesday, off Thursday to Houston, comeback home opener Saturday night. Best I can tell, that's the only home game during peak college football season on a Saturday night, but the Grizzlies do open up on October 26th at home against Orlando.
Yeah, and at least it's towards the latter, but it's not that. What's the super weekend? October 12th.
Right?
I'm sure we'll play a preseason game at like 7 o'clock that night with my luck, or 5 o'clock.
Hang on.
So we missed the midday, and I haven't looked at the preseason schedule.
Let's see. I had the printer view. You got a preseason game at Chicago on October 12th, 7 p.m.
Oh, I thought for sure it'd be at like 5, so I missed everything because that's...
No, you'll get the early window.
Sacrifices we make. And my first impression of it is this, and I just said this on the Grind City Media schedule drop. I'm stunned that for the third year in a row, the NBA has the Grizzlies opening with 3 games in 4 nights. I'm really shocked because the fact of the matter is that it hasn't worked. There's no rhyme or reason to watching a team in that third game having blown out both times, other than the other two teams. And I'd have to look at Orlando's, and maybe you can look it up.
Yeah, I'll do that while you talk.
If Orlando does not play Friday night, it would be the third straight year, because Dallas 2 years ago did not play Friday. Last year, Washington did not play Friday. You played a home game against Denver Friday last year and went out to D.C., which anybody that has flown to D.C., there's 2 airports, and charters don't fly into Reagan, which is right by downtown, you know, Washington, D.C., which is close enough to our hotel. We flew into Dulles, which is a 45-minute bus ride. So you lost an hour. You took off here at about 11:15. It's about a 2-hour flight, 1:15. Essentially 2:15, 35, 40-minute drive, 3 a.m., 3:30, you're getting in your hotel room, and you got a game the next night. Basically, 12 and a half, 13 hours later, you're on a bus to the arena. And Washington wasn't a good basketball team last year. They just didn't have a lot of star power. They made the trade for Jordan Poole. Tyus was doing everything he could. But they absolutely destroyed the Grizzlies in the second half when the Grizzlies ran out of gas. Obviously, not having Ja Morant had a factor in that because he was serving the suspension. But everybody else at the time was healthy, and it was not close.
No.
And I was just like, I walked away from that one, and we all said on the plane, we're like, I get it. Like, you got to play 82, and I get that you have to go by stadium availability. And the year before, wasn't like you played a bunch of bums in the Mavericks. They got a guy named Luka Doncic, who I hear is pretty good. But this was just an absurd travel thing. Now, you don't lose an hour. You do play Houston Friday, and it's a short flight, so you're not going to be getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning. But there is something to be said about early season game shape. You're not in great game shape in the early season. No matter how much you've run on a treadmill, no matter how many miles you've logged on a bike, no matter how many pickup runs you've had, or because you don't play a lot in the preseason, NBA game shape is a whole different world. And when you hit that third game in 4 nights, if your opponent is not in the same situation, that's a huge advantage. And I, you know, if they're in the same situation, great. And everybody's playing the same deck of cards. But when they're not, and the last 2 years it hasn't been that way, Dallas 2 years ago opened in Phoenix, blew a big lead, was hungry for a win, their home opener. And then last year was Washington's home opener. So the little different nuances, it's the Grizzlies' home opener, so you can feed off the energy. But still, I'm just, that surprised me right from the word go.
Orlando plays at home against Brooklyn on Friday. So, I mean, I...
And they play Wednesday?
Yes. They open at Miami. They go at Miami on Wednesday night. Home for Brooklyn. But, I mean, I don't think Brooklyn's all that interested in being competitive this year, whereas the Grizzlies, I presume, are going to be in a dogfight against Houston. And then... And, you know, they play an hour earlier, but, you know, it's a two-hour flight versus, what, an hour flight. So, but, I mean,
it's a more even playing field.
Yes.
So that at least does give me – but I'm still surprised by it because it's like, why are we opening with 3 and 4 nights on the opening weekend of the season? That doesn't – it doesn't really make sense. But it is what it is. You got to schedule it the way you schedule it. Fine. Smarter minds than me make this. I was surprised the Grizzlies have 3 5-game road trips. I remember years where they had – 0 5-game road trips.
I think last year. I think last year they didn't have one. I think 4 was longest last year.
And I think they only had 2 last year. Now you had more that are 3, and you can look at the flip side. You can always look at the flip side because in the end, as someone once told me, you're going to play 41 home, you're going to play 41 road, you're going to play some back-to-backs, you're going to play some 3 and 4 nights. Everybody does it. I just think with this city being as centrally located as it is to so many other places, short flights, both Eastern and Western Conference teams, it eliminates those long road trips. You see teams like Golden State, Lakers, Kings, Blazers, far West Coast teams, and far East Coast teams make where they go for 6 and 7 games on the road in long trips, and they're gone for 2 weeks. But you also knock out, you know, a fifth of your road schedule in one fell swoop. 20% of your road games are done in one trip. Does that make you feel better when you're on the 5th game of a 7-game trip and playing the second night of a back-to-back and you're dead dog tired? No, but it does open up the door for more home games. So I looked at it as, okay, so 15 of your 41 road games come in basically a 21-day stretch. The rest of the time, you got 26 road games, and there should be some more time for getting back to it. The one homestand stood out the most to me where I think you have Boston, the Lakers, and the Warriors, so that'll be a massive ticket sale week, especially if the Grizzlies are staying in that playoff hunt, which we all expect them to do if they're healthy. It's interesting. It's interesting to see how many Eastern Conference teams are in the front of the schedule. I think 8 right off the bat, or like 6. So that you only play 30 games against the East, and you play a bunch in the first 2 weeks of the season. So... I don't know. Like last year, I was shocked how Southwest Division teams the Grizzlies were finished with before New Year's.
Yeah.
I think they were done with 2 and had 3 games against another 2. And so it was like, left other than 1 for the final 2 months of the season. So again, these things all get based on the NHL schedule, the concert tour schedule, the arena availability. San Antonio deals with the rodeo, the Grammys in L.A., the circus in Chicago. And there's always something that gets in there. It's not a job I envy those guys having to do, but, it's still the job, and you got to do it. So it's interesting.
Minnesota for the MLK game. It will be a 1:30 tip-off. Selfishly, Eric, I'm really glad that you're going to be on the air that day, not me.
Well, I don't know why that you don't get that as a holiday. I mean, we have to have a chat with, or what, if there was a Grizzlies game that night where you guys should still have that day and be able to participate in the festivities. I think I wish that game were more in a prime time slot, even if it were the next game on the list where it would be probably, what, at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I can't remember if it's 5 Eastern or 4. You know, it's in, I think that was the, I think, was it last year, maybe 2 years ago we played in that window?
Yeah, and I think it was the Bulls game. It was the Steven Adams picking up Tony Bradley and having him go.
That sounds right.
Completely scarecrow-like when he realized that he was about to fight somebody that was picking him up, and he realized it was Steven Adams, and he just did the dead fish.
I yield.
Take me wherever you want. Yeah, he went straight up. I surrender. I just, the only thing I don't like about that, because they always do a great job getting big name athletes from both the NBA and other sports. Ozzie Smith last year was one of them. The symposium is fantastic, but you have to have it now at like 10 o'clock in the morning. And on a holiday weekend, how many, are you going to hurt people attending that by having it that early? Maybe, maybe not. You're done early so people can get back home and get ready for the next work week ahead. You know, it's a marquee matchup. You do have the Saturday, Sunday before that off if you're the Grizzlies, so that's a good way to rest up and put your best foot forward. I'm happy it's on TNT, though. I think when you break down what the holiday is, that Memphis and Atlanta should both always be on the money.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.